far-reaching and welcome the reaction of Sinn Féin to the EU's proposals to drop most checks on goods and medicines from the UK to Northern Ireland in a bid to resolve the row about the protocol with the UK. Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill joins us now to talk about this. Good morning to you, Michelle O'Neill.
Good morning, Anya.
So you've given it a welcome and you're meeting Maros Šefčovič today, but you heard Geoffrey Donaldson saying yesterday it's far short of what's needed, and also Doug Beattie talking about loyalist opposition and the risk of protests that could turn to violence. What's your assessment of the divided reaction to the EU proposals?
Well, the DUP have continued to be the outlier when it comes to the issue of Brexit, of course. Brexit is a problem and the protocol is a solution. So I do very much welcome what's been tabled yesterday by the European Union. I think it demonstrates that they actually listen to local stakeholders, they listen to the issues that were raised by the local business community, and they've provided practical solutions to make the protocol work. So I think that whilst obviously there's a bit of a journey still to travel in terms of getting this all tied down, but I do think that it demonstrates that there are one of the solutions to be found, that the EU will not be found wanting. So I think that more what we witnessed yesterday from the DUP is more of the same, and it begs the question as to whether or not they really do want the certainty and stability that the rest of us are trying to work together to achieve. I think what's going on within the DUP is more about division within unionism itself. It's more about internal issues within the DUP. It's more about declining popularity in the polls, and it's more about an upcoming election.
And you say that yesterday's proposals shows the EU will not be found wanting in seeking compromise and trying to sort this out. On the other hand, doesn't it also show to the UK government that if you play hardball, you can win concessions from the EU, even if you're being told it's impossible? So why wouldn't they believe the same, for instance, about their red line on the European Court of Justice?
Well, I mean, I think the British government have demonstrated unbridled duplicity. I mean, they keep moving the goalposts. And we have a new red line this week in terms of the European Court of Justice that has not been an issue to this point. I think that the North, in particular, were being used as a pawn in a battle between the British government and the EU. And that's not good enough. It's not acceptable for our local economy. It's not acceptable for local businesses. And I think yesterday's proposals demonstrate that within the framework of the protocol, there were always going to be things that needed to be ironed out because of the lateness of the deal. And we found a way to do that. So I think that what was being called upon or being asked of the EU, they've delivered. And now it's time for it to actually get this all tied down and actually give the certainty and stability that the local business community and that all of us actually in the North want to achieve. Mm-hmm. These are sensible solutions. It's a bespoke arrangement to make the protocol work. So those that are speaking about binning the protocol, that's not even an option. It's not on the table. It's an international treaty and it needs to be delivered upon.
But so far, if you're Boris Johnson playing hardball, gambling, daring the EU to, you know, fall out with you, it's worked so far, hasn't it? And it may be in his political interest to continue along those lines.
But I think that demonstrates how sincere Boris Johnson and the Tories are actually about the best interests of the people who live on this island. I think that the fact that they do keep moving the goalposts does beg that question as to whether or not they actually really do want to find a way through here. I mean, Boris Johnson signed up to this withdrawal agreement. He signed up to the protocol. He signed an international treaty. And ever since that, before the ink was even dry in that agreement, he has tried to backtrack and come out of that. So I don't think that bodes well for where we are. However, I can only work with what I have in front of me today, which is these proposals from the EU side, which I think can provide us a way forward within the protocol, because we have to fight tooth and nail to maintain the protocol, because it gives us the protections of no hard border on this island, protects the whole island economy, and really crucially protects the Good Friday Agreement, our peace agreement.
And has the EU gone far enough in addressing what unionists have been very concerned about and what Claire Hannah was telling us earlier? She understands the democratic deficit where Northern Ireland had very little say about the rules that were coming from the EU about it.
Well, and again, the protocol is an agreement between both the EU side and the British government. And of course, we in the local assembly have a role to play, and we will engage with the European Union. I welcome the fact that they have put forward proposals in terms of engagement with this assembly, but also engagement with the local business community. I think that's also really important. So I think that really you have to, there's a lot of questions, I suppose, that we would need to ask, particularly of Federal Unionism and particularly of the DUP. I am not convinced that they have the best interests of the public at heart. I believe that what's happening and their political posturing and their positioning. It's more about the internal challenges. Obviously, they're an internal turmoil within the party itself, but also it's about the division of support across the unionist parties. And I think that with the rise in the Democrat or the TUV, with the decline in support for the unionist parties in the polls, and again, they are, you know, posturing in terms of threatening stability of politics in the North and asking for an election. So I think it's more about those things than it really is about trying to find a considered way forward here that allows us to maintain the protection that we have within the protocol and actually start to provide certainty and stability, because we have had such instability because of the Brexit debate for the last 5 years. And now we have a way forward, and I would, it's been warmly welcomed, just to say, Anya, it's been warmly welcomed by the business community.
Yeah,
they're all cautiously optimistic in terms of it being a solution.
I want to ask you one other issue, of course, that's top of the political agenda at the moment, Michelle O'Neill, and it's the same north and south, rising COVID rates and hospitalisations. 1,417 cases there in Northern Ireland yesterday, 374 in hospital, 33 in intensive care. And more restrictions being eased from today and more to come on the 31st. Is it going in the right direction?
We have to keep a very cautious eye on the figures. I mean, obviously, there seems to be, or we're going through a period of sustained high levels of cases. However, our hospitalisation rates are starting to fall ever so slightly. So we have to watch the data very carefully, and we continue to monitor that and then take decisions accordingly. We have the, today marks another stage where we're able to lift some of the restrictions, particularly around domestic settings, but
up to 30 indoors, is that right? And audiences no longer have to stay seated.
Yes, that's correct. And we have another lifting of restrictions at the end of the month, but we've said that we want to keep making progress, but we have to be very, very cautious because our health systems are obviously are very much stretched at the moment. And I think we're in for a very uncertain winter, and we need to be very, very careful.
And again, should there be, you know, concerns about things going in the wrong direction as the weeks go by, would you be calling for a return of restrictions, masking, COVID passes, that kind of thing?
Well, we're working very much in partnership with all the different sectors. We're trying to find ways to do things that provides the least disruption to people's lives, but obviously protects our health service and protects the public at large. So we're working up a system. We will have a system good to go at the end of the month in terms of certification if we needed to go there. But we want to avoid going there if we can. We want to work in partnership, making things voluntary, working with sectors, continuing that engagement, but then monitoring the data very carefully. So very much I think we're in the stage of partnership working, particularly with, for example, hospitality, who's been, you know, and tourism sector, who've been very, very hard hit throughout the last 18 months with the pandemic. And I think that for us, certainly, the approach that we're trying to take at this moment in time is a partnership one, where we're not enforcing strict rules on people, and we hope to avoid that ever being the case again, that we never get back into the scenario where we have lockdown scenarios.
And indeed, we'll be hearing from hospitality and nightclubs later in the programme. For the moment, Michelle O'Neill, Sinn Féin Deputy First Minister, thank you for speaking to us on Morning Ireland.